My name is Father Gregory Finus. I'm the Superior General of the Missionaries of the Immaculate Heart. Just wanted to give a report on the life of our priests in the parish church of Our Lady of Tears and of St. Michael. Now, the group of youth that they first went to evangelize on their first meeting have been gathering together and have been speaking in a good way about Father John Michael Doland, recognizing some of the spiritual gifts that he has been given.
I know that Father John's a little bit particular, innit? Like,
yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, yeah, he seems to like, he can tell you things, yeah, that you ain't said to him, yeah, but he knows it already.
I found that out as well myself. Like, it's a bit strange. Like, there's something, I don't know, can't quite explain it, but it's like he reads into you, like he knows you, but you don't say anything about it. You don't say something to him about something, and he knows it.
But anyway, yeah, I still got my little thoughts, yeah, about other religions, yeah, because I ain't got no religion, yeah, but I don't know if I want to be like Rastafarian or if I want to be, you know, like Christian or something. Fives, what would you be like if you could choose like a religion, yeah? What is it you would want to be like?
Like, I still don't really know, like, yeah, because, like, the Imam's been talking to me recently, yeah, and he's been saying things, yeah, because he said, yeah, one time, yeah, like, that the church, yeah, where Father John is, yeah, church where we go to visit sometimes, yeah, they was having like a procession, they call it, yeah, so they had this like statue, yeah, of Jesus, yeah, with his heart, yeah, yeah, Tunde told me that that's called the Sacred Heart, yeah, so they was bringing that like in procession, like they was walking in the streets with it, yeah, and then like the Imam saw it and he said, look, that's what they believe a man, yeah, is a god. Yeah, and he was saying, like, how can that be true? Like, he was saying, yeah, how can God, yeah, die? Yeah. Then he was saying, yeah, oh, they believe, yeah, that God, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, yeah. And he was saying, yeah, they were saying, yeah, he says, this is what they believe. They believe God had a son. And he was saying, how can God have a son? Yeah. How can God have a son who is God? Yeah. And it's like, I was thinking about it, yeah. And I was like, well, what the Imam's saying, yeah. I don't know, yeah. Like, someone needs to kind of explain it.
You know, I went to see Father John not too long ago. And we was talking about faith. And I'm getting interested in what the church is teaching. He said he's recording some stuff to explain what some people of other religions don't believe. And one of them is what this Imam is saying about God having a son. And I mean, he said the thing that he's going to record is a bit intellectual. What that means is, because he was explaining all these things to me, because sometimes I can't understand these long words, but he was saying, like, theology and stuff, theology is like the study of God. So he's saying he was going to give a talk, he's recorded a talk about theology, explaining some of these things that people don't understand about God having a son and other things. And he's actually put it on a CD.
Yeah, so, like, have you got that CD?
I've actually got the CD. Hang on a minute. Like, Raphael was saying to me, yeah, if we want to know a little bit more about God and stuff, yeah, you can listen to a radio station, yeah? Remember when you lot went to that radio station in Hampshire? Yeah? It's called Radio Immaculata. Yeah, why don't you try and put it on now? Like, it's
radioimmaculata.org. Can I use your computer files?
Yeah, but I want to hear the talkers. I want to hear the Father John talk.
Yeah, we can put it on after, innit? So as soon as we, like, just turn on the radio and see what's on innit, because there might be something interesting innit. There might be, like, some message out there that we can listen to, innit? So let's try and see what this Radio Immaculata is on, innit, and see what, like, they got live radio, innit, so you can just listen to it live, innit? I found it, innit? So we listen to it?
Yeah.
So there you have it, the life of St. George Precker, who died on the feast of St. Anne, the 26th of July. Let this day be a special day for us. Let us become devoted to St. Anne. We heard how St. George Precker had a great devotion to St. Anne and to St. Michael the Archangel. And another feast that we celebrate this month is on the 15th of September, Our Lady of Sorrows. And we heard also how St. George Precker was devoted to Our Lady of Sorrows. Do look into who St. George Precker is. He's the founder of the Society of Christian Doctrine. I'd encourage our radio listeners, particularly any catechists listening, to pray to him, St. George Precker. Here in Gosport, we have a lot of Maltese. Let us pray also for Malta. So let us summarize now, conclude our show on imitating the saints in their imitation of Our Lady and their devotion to Our Lady. Let us remember St. Gertrude the Great. If anyone is familiar with images of St. Gertrude, many times she is depicted with a heart, and inside that heart is the baby Jesus. So if ever you see a nun and there's an image that has a nun with a heart, and inside that heart there is the baby Jesus, that is St. Gertrude the Great. Let us pray to St. Anne to be like St. Gertrude. Let us pray that within our hearts there can be baby Mary, little Mary. Let us pray that the littleness of Mary can claim our hearts as her own. Let our hearts be a place that the Blessed Virgin Mary is given hospitality, a place that welcomes her, a place that welcomes particularly her humility, her littleness. And as we mentioned in the beginning, Saint Philomena, the lily of purity. We learnt how Saint George Precker, when he laughed, it seemed childlike. This reveals the innocence, the purity of his soul. In one episode, we spoke about Little Mary in St. Therese of the Child Jesus, and in St. Francis of Assisi. We spoke particularly of St. Francis, who had this innocence, going back to that innocence that Adam once had, speaking to the animals, that we said it was possible that maybe the animals saw in St. Francis of Assisi their queen, the Blessed Virgin Mary, little Mary. The innocence in the heart of St. Francis could command the creatures. A saint that comes to mind who is very devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary is Saint Martin de Porres very humble? How much did his heart welcome, embrace the humility of Our Lady, who we heard is humility itself on our episode on humility? How Our Lady is humility itself. And we've heard Our Lady being described as purity itself. So let us go forth and march as children of Mary, going to conquer as the Israelites conquered. Let us build a Marian culture first within our hearts, laying down the foundations through humility, then transmitting it to others, and together build together this Mariandom, this Maria-centric community that has the Immaculate Heart of Mary at the center. And let the world be set ablaze by the fire, the love of the Holy Spirit. I was just reflecting on how years ago there was riots in London. London was set ablaze, apparently. I mean, I was in Italy at the time when it happened. A policeman, I don't want to get into the politics, but shot a member of the West Indian community. Saint Gertrude the Great is in fact patron for West Indians, for those who didn't know. She's the patron of the West Indies. And the people of West Indian origin and those also born in England from West Indian origin burnt London down. Well, a good part of it. Now, myself, coming from a West Indian background, I'm aware that in the inner city, in a lot of the impoverished parts of London, there is a lot of crime, a lot of gun crime. Now, where am I going with all this? Let the violence change into peace. I don't want to sound like a Marxist false prophet, but let the hands that carry weapons to kill change into hands that carry the rosary. Let that city that was set ablaze, it wasn't just London, it was other parts, other cities in England where people rioted. Let this become love, the love of the Holy Spirit. So I pray that, particularly in those communities where I'm from, Our Lady of the Rosary will work miracles, will transform hearts, will convert souls. And you never know. In the lowest places, deprived, forgotten, abandoned, let us hope Our Lady will go there. As in the past, she went to Massapiella, which was a rubbish tip. Sometimes these things, you never know, could symbolize that Our Lady goes to the lowest. Our Lord was born in a grotto, in a stable. Let us pray Our Lady go to these places and raise them up in love, raise them up through love, and build in these places a culture of love, pray, remembering our intention to have the littleness of Mary in our hearts. So just as in the images of Saint Gertrude the Great, we see in the heart of Saint Gertrude the baby Jesus, let us pray that we have within our hearts little Mary, and there we'll find the baby Jesus also. And Saint Gertrude, we owe her also for the devotion to the Sacred Heart. Let us pray to the Sacred Heart of Jesus to spread his love, particularly in places where many, many souls risk going to hell. Let us pray to our Immaculate Co-Redemptrix to show herself to all souls. Our Lady, Queen of all nations, pray for us. Amen.
I'd like to read something that explains to those who don't believe. Let me just turn this light on. I'd like to dedicate this to Saint Jude, the Apostle, the patron of helpless cases. I told some people recently that I was going to read this and record it. For those who don't believe, I told them the particular people that I was praying for, and somebody responded, "That's impossible. They'll never believe. Nothing is impossible to God." And I want to dedicate this also to Saint Gemma Galgani, an Italian mystic, a great saint, but very hidden, not known by a lot of people, but her intercession is very powerful. So I begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How one is to dispute with unbelievers. To this, therefore, must be directed the intention of a Christian disputing about the articles of faith, not in order to prove the faith, but to defend it. Hence, Blessed Peter does not say, ready always to prove, but rather to satisfy. That's from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Namely, that it might reasonably be shown that what Catholic faith confess is not false. Chapter 3. How generation in the Godhead is to be understood. Now God is not of a carnal nature, such that he needs intercourse with a woman so as to beget, but is of a spiritual or intellectual nature. Rather, he is above every intellect. Hence, generation in him is to be understood in the manner appropriate to an intellectual nature. And although our intellect falls short of the perfection of the divine, we nonetheless cannot otherwise speak of the divine intellect except in terms of a likeness to what we find in our own intellect. Our intellect, however, sometimes understands potentially, sometimes actually. Now, as often as it understands something in act, it forms something which is, as it were, its offspring. For this reason, it is called a mental concept. The word, therefore, of our intellect can be termed either a concept or offspring by virtue of a certain analogy.
Analogy means something which is similar, comparison. But because in God, understanding is naught other than his very being, it follows that the word which is conceived in his intellect is neither some accident nor something foreign to his nature. By the very fact that it is a word, it has the character of one proceeding from another, such that it also be the likeness of the one whose word it is. This, of course, is also found in our word. Insofar, then, as the divine can be described in human terms, we call the word of the divine intellect the Son of God. The God, however, whose is the word, we call the Father. And the procession of the word we term the generation of the Son, immaterial indeed, not carnal, as carnal men are inclined to suppose. The word of man is consequent in time to man himself, and sometimes ceases to be before the man does. It is, however, impossible that such like be found in God, in whom neither imperfection nor change of any kind has place, nor any kind of passage from potency to act, since he is pure act and first act. The word of God, then, is coeternal with God himself. God understands all things simultaneously by a single act, because his understanding cannot be but one with his very being. Hence, it follows that in God there is only one word. The divine word fully matches the power of God, because God, through his essence, understands himself and all else. Hence, as great as is his essence, so great is the word which by his essence he conceives, understanding himself and all else. It is therefore perfect and simple and equal to God. And for the reason just mentioned, this word we call the Son of God. Of the same nature as the Father, we confess him the Father's co-eternal, only begotten and perfect Son. How within the Godhead the procession of the Holy Spirit from the Father and the Son is to be understood. Since then in God there is most perfect knowledge, it is also necessary to predicate of him perfect love. In such love by virtue of an appetitive operation, just as in the word by virtue of an intellectual operation, a procession is expressed. But a certain difference between an operation of the intellect and of the appetite is to be noticed. For an intellectual operation, indeed any cognitive act, is brought to term when what is knowable in some way comes to exist in the knower, as for instance the sensible in the senses and the intelligible in the intellect. An appetitive operation, however, is brought to term according to a certain order or movement of the appetite toward the objects presented to it. Now, whatever constitutes the hidden origin of its activity receives the name of spirit. Because, therefore, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are not distinguished by reason of the divine nature, but by the relations alone, quite appropriately, we do not say there are three gods, but confess one true and perfect God. What was the reason for the incarnation of the Son of God? From a similar mental blindness, Muslims are led to ridicule as well the Christian faith which confess Christ, the Son of God, died, because they do not grasp the depth of so great a mystery. And lest the death of the Son of God be understood perversely, first, something must be said about the incarnation of the Son of God, For we do not assert that the Son of God was subject to death by virtue of the divine nature, in which he is equal to the Father, and nature which is the source of all life, but by virtue of our nature, which he assumed in the unity of the person. How the saying, God was made man, must be understood. We can say that God is born of the Virgin because of his human nature. And this man is eternal because of the divine nature. How the assertion, the Word of God suffered and died, is to be understood, and that nothing unfitting is involved in affirming this. From the consideration, therefore, of the foregoing, it can already be seen sufficiently that nothing inappropriate follows from the fact that when we confess God, the only begotten Word of God, to have suffered and died. For we do not ascribe these things to